The bill passed in the first week of session, with House and Senate leaders eager to claim their environmental street cred in an election year. On the Senate floor Friday, President Andy Gardner described it in historic terms.
This has been a good week for the residents of the great state of Florida. These bills and the water bill and others, we're changing lives with that.
But critics say the bill doesn't measure up, literally. One provision says water doesn't have to be metered if it's flowing through a pipe narrower than 8 inches in diameter. That language was added by business lobbyists, says Bob Palmer, an executive committee member of the Florida Springs Council.
Can they afford $200-$300 a year to actually tell the citizens of Florida how much water they're sucking out of the ground? I think they can. But apparently that somebody perceived that as too big of a burden, and they inserted that huge loophole.
The council and more than 100 other groups sent a strongly worded letter to Gardner and his House counterpart earlier this year. The letter recommended a dozen changes. House Democratic leader Mark Pafford of West Palm Beach tried to add some of the changes when the bill reached the floor. Many of the changes were deceptively simple. One would have required regulators to set a regional limit on water withdrawals. The current piecemeal permitting approach makes it too hard to protect springs from overpumping, Pafford said.
Permits are analyzed individually, cumulative effects are discounted, actual data on water flows are ignored in favor of model predictions. There is an inherent bias towards granting permits for economic reasons.
Pafford also wanted to require anyone pumping more than 100,000 gallons of water a day from a well to install meters. Many Florida farmers estimate the amount of water they withdraw by the electricity their pumps use. The amendments died. Sponsors said that after more than 3 years of negotiations, it was time to vote. The bill focuses on three main areas. It orders regulators to set minimum flow levels for the state's 39 major freshwater springs. It sets guidelines for a regional water supply plan for Central Florida. And it sets guidelines for cleaning up Lake Okeechobee and the Northern Everglades. Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam is frustrated with the critics. Mainstream environmental groups like Audubon of Florida and the Nature Conservancy were key players, he says.
It's a broad-based coalition. It's not the end of the work that needs to be done on water policy, but it is an important step forward.
Chris Costello, a regional organizer for the Sierra Club, wants lawmakers to get back to work this session while water is still on everybody's mind. She says the bill focuses on tapping new water sources and ignores an obvious solution.
Conserving water at the local level rather than going to other basins to move water from one basin to another.
Costello complains the bill is still based on best management practices, a philosophy that mostly lets polluters police themselves. Audubon of Florida Executive Director Eric Draper says the bill falls far short of landmark reform. However, he says the Greens who stayed at the table prevented a wholesale attack on existing protections. Businesses, farmers, and most of the public would be up in arms if the bill made the most important changes needed to clean up and protect Florida's water supply, Draper said.
We would put significant restrictions on all fertilizer use. We would hook up almost all septic tanks to central sewer systems. We would eliminate the practice of applying any sewage products onto the landscape, such as disposing of sludge or using wastewater for landscape irrigation.
Meanwhile, critics calling for a veto should brace themselves. Scott is scheduling a bill signing ceremony for Thursday. For WFSU News, I'm Jim Ash.